If you Google pack rats, you get 20 pages of hits on exterminator companies. Today, we're joined by Catherine Bartlett of the Arizona Sonoran Desert Museum, who's an education specialist there, an entomologist, and also knowledgeable about pack rats, to shed a more positive light on these cute little animals.
Thank you for having me.
The Desert Museum is currently developing a new pack rat exhibit.
Yes, it's really exciting. We're in development right now. It's in the very early stages. It's called Hidden in the Midden, and it's geared towards children and getting them to fall in love with the desert.
Why pack rats? I mean, everybody hates pack rats.
Well, not everybody hates pack rats. There's a large contingency of us that actually like them and appreciate them. So it's a challenge to try to be able to change people's minds. And the earlier you can do that, and the earlier that somebody falls in love with the desert and understands our ecosystem, the more conservation can happen later in their life. So we're trying to target this at kids. And pack rats, because they are very small, very playful, they're magnetic creatures, and overall pretty cute.
Clever.
They are very clever creatures. They're also known as trade rats because they go around the desert and they collect things. So they are the original museum curators. They're out there looking for all these objects, and if they're attracted to it, then they'll take it home with them. And the things they're attracted to could be really shiny. So people might have lost their car keys. Some people have lost their sunglasses or tiny little toys to pack rats. They take them to their midden and they put them in their collection. They have a room in their nest that's just for collecting objects that they've found interesting. There's a couple fun stories. One person has documented false teeth being found in a midden, so that got stolen off of someone's bedside table, perhaps.
Not from their mouth, I mean.
I would hope not. And there's another story that pack rat collected 2 nickels, but when they encountered a dime, they gave it up to trade for the dime. And again, that's just a story. They don't know about our currency or anything. They just like small, shiny objects.
These middens get very, very old, is my understanding.
Yes, they can be thousands and thousands of years old, which is really important, and it's a great way to study the environment, because after the pack rat takes home all these objects, they end up doing something which is really interesting, which is urinating on them. And they have incredibly thick, viscous urine. It's almost sappy, and it hardens and crystallizes, and anything that it touched becomes ensconced in almost like this amber-like setting. So it's a great way for us to study the environment of our past, because pack rats have been around 40,000, 50,000 years, and because we have these middens, these are little time capsules. So pack rats have been able to tell us what the environment was like thousands of years ago, when we don't really have much of an idea. In Arizona, in southern Arizona, we don't have ice cores. We don't have tar pits. We don't have deep sediment under the sea layers. And all those things are what's been able to tell us as humans things about our past, but not necessarily in an arid environment like we're in. So the pack rats are the ones that are holding a key to our past.
You can also deduce certain things about climate change from their poop, right?
If you look at the size of a creature's poop, it tells you basically the size of the creature. And we've been able to deduce that the size of their poop has been changing over time. And the creatures are usually larger in colder environments, and they get smaller in hot environments. So by looking at the poop that pack rats have left behind over thousands of years, we're able to see that their size has gotten smaller. Ergo, the climate has been warming up.
Over thousands of years.
Yes, over thousands of years.
Is there also a logarithmic curve to it? Like around the turn of the century, they became a lot smaller?
It doesn't happen that quickly. We have been able to look back at pack rats, and they are very adaptable creatures. They've been able to go through 50,000 years of change, when 50,000 years ago, the Sonoran Desert wasn't a desert. It was more oaklands. It was more higher elevation type plants. It was wetter and cooler here. They have survived that as a single species. However, evolution does not happen as quickly as climate change happens. So if this trend continues, which it is likely to, the pack rats might not be able to catch up.
How old is the species as a whole?
It's about 40 to 50,000 years.
Are there middens that old?
There are some. There are some in the Tucson Mountains that have been found that are continuously inhabited for 5,000 years. So they're still looking at those and still processing it. And because of these middens that have ensconced the seeds and plant parts and pollen grains, we know when Palaverdes came a couple thousand years ago, and saguaros got to here about 8,000 years ago, and mesquites are 15,000 years. We wouldn't have that information if it wasn't directly for the pack rat.
What other things are lovable about them?
Well, we talked about them being the trade rats, which I think is just totally cute. And I think that many, many kids can identify with this idea of being a collector and starting collections. I collected weird things as a kid. I think most people did. So it's a really nice way to connect people to nature, besides them being so cute. And while I do understand that they can be pests when they're in and around homes, we just have to realize that we're working together here in this environment. They were here first, so let's work together. Pack rat middens are also home to quite a few invertebrate species, so it's a hot spot for biodiversity. And without those homes, we might not necessarily have some of the beetles, true bugs, flies, things like that, that other species are feeding on. So if you like skunks and badgers and small mammals and bats and your nighttime birds, then they are feeding on the things that are also living in the pack rat midden.
It's a food store, too.
Yeah, it's a food store for everything else that we do love. In addition to that, the pack rats are moving around all these plant parts. They're kind of helping with some seed dispersal somewhat. But because they have these middens that are nice and cool, they're urinating inside of them, they are creating soil underneath that's incredibly nutrient rich. So you get these spots around the desert that have really great soil, and it's great for growing the plants. So the pack rat's really connected to biodiversity on many levels.
Can they be domesticated?
Not necessarily. I know that people have mice or gerbils or rats as pets at home, but we don't really have that with pack rats. We have a few that are used as educational ambassadors. So we do have them in captivity. They come with us to schools. We get them to meet the kids, and then they come back. But they're not necessarily domesticated in a way that a cat or dog has been for centuries.
They're not really pettable.
Right. No. Yeah, no, we don't pet them or touch them. They shift on their own.
Back to Hidden in the Midden. How far is the project along and when it's going to be done?
We have some rough drafts, and we have done a couple workshops with the public. So this time around at the Desert Museum, we're doing something really awesome and really engaging, and we're involving our audience on the forefront of exhibitry design. So we have been able to send out polls through Facebook or Twitter. We've been able to have workshops with families. We have one in November that's a workshop with young professional adults, and they are going to tell us what they want out of this space, what's really engaging to them, what they would like to see in the future. And we can really drive our exhibit design towards the needs of our public.
Can people still join these workshops?
Yeah, we have a couple that are still ongoing in the young adult range. The one in November is through Lead Local, and they're hosting us. So that's a really great opportunity to get involved. You can also email the Desert Museum at any time, or even respond to your blog about ideas that you would have and would love to see. Again, because we're so in the early stages, we're open to lots of ideas.
Is there a site or a Facebook page for the project?
Not really, but if you just contact our info line, they'll send it along to the right person.
And your info line is?
info@desertmuseum.org.
Thank you very much, Catherine.
Thank you for having me.